Welcome, everybody. We'll call the meeting to order. This is the AMAC Transportation Advisory Committee, May 7th. Do we have a quorum, Carrie? I assume we do.
Yes.
All right, did they have a chance to look at the minutes?
Dave White moved to approve.
Motion by Dave White.
Yes, for a second.
Any other comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. All right, staff reports. Jason.
Okay, the financial progress report, I apologize, the paper version did not make it into the folders, but we are current as of March 31st. That was our last billing to ODOT. We were three-quarters of the way through the fiscal year at that point, and we had expended three-quarters of the funds, so we're right where we need to be financially. And I'd not to steal his thunder, but when Curtis presents the work program, we were able to lower the dues a little bit this year, and we're augmenting the planning part of our work program with some STP funds. So we're in good financial shape, continue to be, and I would be glad to take any questions. Otherwise, we would ask for a motion for approval.
Do you have a motion?
So moved. Approved.
Motion by Drew, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, Curtis, technical progress report.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful day in this hot, windowless room. So technical progress report, just had a couple things to update everyone on. First, as usual, the trust fund situation, as well as the MAP 21 reauthorization. So as many of you know, we've kind of been beating the drum, and obviously with the resolution we passed, MAP 21, which is the highway bill, federal authorization for highway funding, is set to expire May 31st. The interesting thing, though, is that it looks like estimated the OMB estimates for actual tax fund and not for the tax highway trust fund tax fund is actually not going to be completely insolvent until July. And so what it's created in Congress is this debate about if they should extend MAP 21 for a very short period of time to sort of match it up with the time when the authorizations would all be spent. So basically what I'm saying in a complicated way is it looks like we're looking at extensions of MAP 21, and they might only do an extension from May 31st to July, which would really seem like a waste of time, but they're also looking at one that would go through January, which then they would have to figure out where the funding for the trust fund would come from when it becomes insolvent, which is estimated to be late July, early August, through January. I guess in some ways the positives, the silver lining is that the reason they want to do a short extension is because they do believe that they can get a new highway authorization, a five-year bill. And it does seem like some members of Congress have realized that it will take a tax increase for that to happen, like our resolution had requested or asked to be considered. But that's sort of where it stands right now, which is kind of how it feels like we've been reporting for the last couple of years. So that's where we are. And the more local news, AMAC's worked with the James Walk organization that was supporting. It was in memory of Jane Jacobs, who was an urban advocate, and there was a program called Jane's Walk that was done in early May. The purpose of that was for volunteers to organize walks throughout cities and promote neighborhoods and walkability and all of those good things. AMAC's helped participate in those and helped craft some of those walks. There were 15 walks. We had over 400 people out over the weekend of, I believe it was May 1st, May 2nd, and May 3rd. And those were mostly in Akron neighborhoods, also one in Portage Lakes. But they were very well attended, and we were pretty pleased with the outcome. Then finally, as some of you know, we've talked about the Better Block project in the North Hill neighborhood of Akron that's being helped funded through the Knight Foundation. This is where we kind of create a temporary development in an established neighborhood that's has some vacancy, and so we're looking at the Temple Square area of North Hill. That's going to happen next week. Currently, volunteers will be out during the week next week, where we'll actually be no permanent paint, but temporarily painting and striping things like bike lanes and new extending curves, larger sidewalks, things like that. And then throughout that weekend, they're going to test it to see how does it work. Will people use the bike lanes? Do people use, how do they interact with maybe a narrower street, et cetera? This is something that, while we're really excited for it to come to Akron, I think we also believe that it can be applied in maybe a smaller format throughout the region. So a lot of AMAT staff is plugged into this. We'll be working with the team that's called Better Block that's doing this. And we're hoping that maybe, in the short term, that sometimes AMATs can come to you and help you, put some tape down and do some temporary bike lanes and maybe test some things on roadways that are, that are deemed testable. So it's a pretty cool project, and we're excited about it. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and that concludes my report.
Any questions for Curtis?
Thank you.
All right, AMAT's federal funds report. Victor?
Thank you. Late March, the Ohio statewide CMAC funding committee met, and they made a decision to go for another round of funding this year. That will be for funding in fiscal year 2021. So originally, we planned to go out for funding every 2 years, but they wanted to fill up that 1 year, and then after that, go out every 2 years for funding. So this happened kind of suddenly. We will send out an email next week to give the details of that, this round of funding. It'll be much like last year. The application will be due end of June, and then the TAC CMAC subcommittee will review those, and we'll come back to both the TAC here and the policy sometime in the summer for approval of projects to be sent down to the Ohio statewide committee. And then looking at our funding program and balances table, if you look at the column 2015, you'll see that there's a handful of projects left to be encumbered. If you check on all of those, it looks like for the most part, all of them are going to be encumbered. There might be more than people that are struggling. We have two big projects, ODOT's Cotton Corners, the one State Route 14, State Route 59 for $3 million. That is solely growing, I believe, the 91 project in Twinsburg. So those are the two large projects. If you look on the back side of the page, you'll see our balances. It shows right now that we're short $400,000 for 2015. As some of these projects are coming in, we expect that some of them will come in less than what we have approved. So that number should become smaller before we get to the end of June. And then ODOT did tell us that they would run the same one if we were short for this fiscal year. And then you can see the balances throughout the rest of the program. And keeping in mind, as you can see, some of these projects have been moved. We had to do that for financial balances to get approval from the Fed. So that's all I have on this item. If anybody has any questions, we have a little.
All right, thank you. Now we're moving on to old business, a couple of items that were tabled from last meeting, road diet analysis. Jeff?
Attachment 4A in your mailout is the road diet analysis. In March, a draft, a brief version of the road diet analysis was brought before the AMAS committee seeking their comments and input. Comments were received during these meetings and have been addressed and were incorporated into the final version of the report, which is included in your packet today. Essentially, additional diagrams and photos were added to provide additional examples of road diet and optional types of road diets. By definition, a road diet reduces the number of travel lanes on a roadway and then adjusts or reassigns the space for other uses and travel modes. The most common type of road diet reconfiguration is the conversion of a four-lane roadway into a three-lane roadway made up of two through lanes and a center two-way left turn lane. The remaining space can be allocated for bicycle lanes, pedestrian refuge islands, transit bus stops, or on-street parking. A road diet is a useful low-cost tool to improve safety and integrate multiple modes of travel on a single roadway segment. Staff is now recommending approval of the attached road diet analysis. Are there any questions?
I have a question, Jeff. So with the approval of this and the recommendations that you have for your good candidates, when it comes time, if any of those would want to get funding, would the fact that this is an approved report and analysis bump them up in the funding consideration?
Well, the next time that the funding policy guidelines are developed, then the TAC TIP subcommittee would have an input into how much weight would be applied to roadmap development on a project. And of course, those locations would be up to the local sponsor, the AMAS members, to decide whether they wanted a road diet or not. But the point scoring in terms of funding would have to be agreed upon by the committee before that was undertaken.
So this is a good first step towards that.
Yes.
And Chris, if I may, too, as well, that you know all of these projects are identified in this report are going to be considered for inclusion to our region plan for 2040. So this is sort of kind of gets into that first tier, and then we're looking for the actual recommendations that we want to make for that are going to be eligible to apply for because this is a plan. These projects will be considered for that.
Anything else?
I'd like to comment. I just wanted to add that I think the examples that you added are very helpful, and I would observe, I think that, well, typically the bike lane addition is the biggest sort of obvious user benefit. From the transit perspective, the ability for pedestrians to cross is much easier with a road diet than with a typical four-lane section. And I think from a transit perspective, we're really glad to see that in situations where there's no need for that many lanes to serve the traffic.
Okay, thank you. All right, thanks, Jeff. And we need a motion to accept and...
Any
second? Right there, a second. Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Any opposed? No. Okay. All right. Old Business B, planning data forecast, Nate Brugger.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. As a reminder, well, we did a draft of this the last time. The planning data forecast is a periodic process that AMS goes through to project 35 different planning variables through the year 2040. It gives us the long-range outlook for several dimensions of planning. And the primary purpose is that they are fed into our regional transportation model to kind of model what kind of congestion and traffic we might have in the future. And a secondary purpose is we just kind of follow these and they give us some insight into the other planning processes that we do via the long-range transportation plan, pedestrian planning, everything like that. So in the previous draft of this, that's just a reminder of what it is. The previous time we brought this around, one of the major elements of the planning data forecast is the population projection through 2040. And some concern was expressed in the March round of meetings that the populations that we came up in the previous draft didn't seem to quite match the observed growth that we've had in recent years and everything. And they wanted the staff to revisit that, and we have. One of the problems with that was previously we've been kind of constrained by population numbers that were calculated by the state. And we are very thankful we placed a call to ODOT, and they gave us a little flexibility as long as we stay within reason to try some methodologies and maybe come up with a population forecast that was better representative of what we've experienced as of late. So we did come up with a new methodology. To get a little technical, this one uses only full years of census data, so 2000, 2010, where these are actual counts of the population. The previous methodologies use ACS data, which is based on estimates and surveys. They move up and down. There's a lot of fluctuations. And over the long term, that kind of causes maybe some of the funky things that we may have seen in the previous version. So we really feel that this one better portrays the population growth that we've seen over recent years. And once we updated the population, that trickles down to several of the other planning variables, number of students, number of households, vehicles, many things like that. And we've updated all the tables from the previous draft of the report and everything that kind of corresponds with that. So once we calculated the new populations using these revised methodologies, we sent copies out to all members of the policy and TAC for their review. And we also held an open house at the ANAT's office for anyone who wanted to come in. Because some of the technical things might have been hard to explain through email, so we want to make ourselves available to explain and answer any questions anyone might have about the new methodology and process. And we received several responses. They were all positive. We're particularly glad to hear the Portage County seem much happier with these. Across the board, all the population is better. There's still some communities or sub-areas that may lose population, but it's not nearly as steep as it was previously. So it's kind of an across-the-board improvement and better representative of what we've seen lately. So the key results, the MS region, we should expect to see slight growth, 2.4% through 2040. And employment, also modest growth through 2040, should outpace population we're expecting, which would make the region an attractive place for outsiders to come for employment. And the county levels actually follow the regional trends. Both the whole Portage County, Summit County, and even the Wayne County portion, both expected to see slight increases in population and modest increases in employment through 2040. As a reminder, the way we calculate these, it starts from very small level, and then we kind of aggregate them into larger geographic regions. We do isolate some of the major cities in the area, Barberton, Cuyahoga Falls, and Akron. But because these are done at the traffic zone level, some of them cross jurisdictional boundaries, and it gets a little messy. So one method we use when presenting the data for this is to aggregate things into sub-areas. So we divide some of the Portage counties into different quadrants and thirds and everything. And that just kind of gives us a better picture of what's going on. All the sub-areas kind of have geographically close and similar areas that there's a lot of interrelationships between them. We just found that's the best way to present the data in a lot of ways. So just to show the changes in population, this is what we have using the new methodology. As we've seen kind of recently, the highest growth is in the northern portion of the Annette's area, and moderate growth throughout. And the suggestion we received at the last run was to actually include these maps in the actual report, which we did last time. So there in the appendices, you can see this in the employment chart. So that's what the picture looks like now after the revised methodology from last time. We would recommend your approval. And once the data from this process is approved, we will load it in our regional traffic model, which then gets used for other reports that we do in traffic modeling and everything. And we will use it to inform the larger planning process. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any more questions for me? All right. Thanks for making those changes. From what I've heard in Portage County, people are pretty pleased with this.
Thank you for all the
input. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second, Dave Wayne.
All right. Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. New business. Resolution 2015-07, adopting the TIP for fiscal year 2016 to 2019. Victor.
Thank you. Okay, just some of the basics of the Transportation Improvement Program, which we sometimes call the TIP or the TIP. It's basically a listing of the highway, transit, and bike, and pedestrian projects that are scheduled to be implemented over the next 4 years. You notice the four-year window, we update it every 2 years, which we're doing right now, and it's supported by federal, state, and local funds, and I'll get a little bit more detail on that in a later slide. And then it's all the projects that are listed in here have to be consistent with our regional transportation plan, also known as our long-range plan. And in order for any transportation project to receive federal funds, it has to be listed in the TIP. And it's also used for coordinated projects, and it's also a level of information for the public to see what projects are happening in their area, what are the limits, and how much they cost. And then we have some federal requirements that we will go through each one of those. So one of the main requirements that we have is that we have to demonstrate that the amount of funds that we expect to be available over this four-year period is enough to support the projects that are listed. So we have a whole chapter devoted on that. And just to show our funding, we get about $10 million a year in the surface transportation program and our transportation alternative program. So that'd be about $40 for the four-year TIP. And that's just the split between those two funding programs over that length of the TIP. So something else we have to deal with is air quality conformity. There's something called the State Implementation Plan for Air Quality, and what it does is set emission budgets for multiple sources. And we're part of an 8-county region that includes the Cleveland area, and we do an analysis to show our region emissions are less than the budgets that we're given. And then the last one is we do have a public involvement component. We advertise the local papers, and we use a 2-week-long public involvement period. We have our TIP up on our website as well as at our office. And then within that 2-week period, we did have a meeting on April 8th. We'll say this picture is not a picture that needed. We had one person attend, and it was from our CMC. Or CMC, sorry. And just to show some of the what's going on, some of the numbers in the TIP. So this is the TIP's, there's about $720 million worth of projects. This is the breakdown of it. So the state covers about 7% of that. Local funds cover about 39%. And then the federal funds cover 54% of the cost of the projects in the TIP. And then this is just kind of trends in the project types. All these pie charts represent about a 10-year period. The first two are the previous TIPs, this is the current TIP, and then this is the new TIP. So the yellowish color you can see, that's the one that's changed probably the most, and that's capacity type projects. So that's gone down to 7% in this new TIP. So the 52% is maintenance and operational type projects for roadway type projects. And 40% is the amount of funds that are dedicated to transit, and then 1% is bike and pedestrian, standalone bike and pedestrian type projects. Now there are bike and pedestrian projects as part of this part of the pie chart, but those numbers are pretty difficult to try to extract from that. So there's definitely more than 1% that's dedicated for bike and pedestrian type projects. And then for those who may not be familiar with our highway listing of projects, this is the same. This is the first page of the charts that are in your handout. There's a column that doesn't show here, but it's just the map number refers to the map. It's in the it follows the table. And then this is this column PID number. This is a unique number that ODOT assigns to each project. This stands for county, route, and section. So in this case, this is Portage County. The route is Ethan Drive, and then if it had a log number, that would be there. But this is the length of the project. This tells you where it's at, and then what are the limits of it, and then what type of work, and then the fund type, and the phase. So C stands for construction, P is preliminary engineering, and then R is right away. And then it'll give you which year in that four-year window that that project's scheduled to sell, and the amount, and then the total project cost, who the sponsor is, and then its air quality status. So with that, the staff recommends approval of adopting the new TIP for fiscal years 2016 through 2019. After this, what we'll do is it gets submitted down to Federal Highway and Federal Transit Administration. They'll both review them and we'll get their approval by June 30th. So that July 1st, this new TIP becomes active. And then we also have the complete document up on our website under the What's New section.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Do I have a motion to approve?
Yeah, I move to approve.
Any second?
A second.
Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. Resolution 2015-08, approving the fiscal year 2016 Transportation Planning Work Program budget. Curtis.
Thank you. All right, the fiscal year of 2016 is just about upon us. Everyone has seen this document, I think, three times now. We bring it in January to show kind of the work items, then in March to show the preliminary layout of what we're expecting to do. And then this third time now, we are asking for approval. So the work program and budget basically is a listing of for our fiscal year 2016 of what we expect to do in terms of work products, what our federal funding looks like for our planning purposes, and also our state and local share that's required to match those planning purposes. So basically, the main things that we're going to be working on is now that we've just, or we will be approving the TIP and Policy Committee next week. We'll be working on maintaining that TIP. We'll be doing another traffic counting program through 2016 this summer. Obviously, the CMAQ funds. And we are going to continue, as I mentioned at the last technical progress report, of updating quite a few of our documents for planning purposes. We will be doing a new bike plan, a new pedestrian plan, new transit plan, et cetera. And then also the final thing that's listed on here that's going to be pretty interesting is the performance measures. We're still waiting. ODOT is developing. Well, actually, the federal government is still developing how they want the states to do performance measures. ODOT is slowly coming to their ideas of how they're going to do performance measures, and then AMATS as an MPO will be required to look at performance measures in the work that we do. So that will include things like safety, highway maintenance, even I believe there's an economic type of performance management component. And so one of the things we'll be starting to do is tracking some of that new data and looking at how we measure up against others, how we measure up against ourselves in the coming years. That's kind of like a fancy way for the feds to benchmark. So that's going to be pretty interesting, and that work's going to definitely kick up here in the next year. As Jason had alluded to, Table 2 of the work program does show local share that we're asking for is $148,063. I believe last year we were looking at $150 or $151. So it is a little bit lower. Due to some accounting issues at ODOT, this year is kind of rare. We're actually losing $50,000 of our budget to augment that so that we would be fine financially, as we've included some STP in our budget to make up for that shortfall. And the good news about that is that we are able to use toll revenue credits to match that STP, so there's no additional local share required for, through the local entities to pay for that additional fund. So with that, like I said, this is the final time you'll see this, and we are requesting approval of the document. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Chris?
Demasi approve?
Pardon?
Demasi approve?
Motion approved.
You want to take it?
Okay. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. All right. Resolution 2015-09, reaffirming the approval of the Regional Transportation Plan and TIP. Jeff Gardner.
Thank you. Attachment 6C in your mail contains two resolutions. 2015-09 and 2015-10. These two resolutions we bring to the committees every May. They're two annual resolutions that AMATS must pass each year in order to remain certified as a Metropolitan Planning Organization. Resolution 2015-09 affirms AMATS' annual approval of the Regional Transportation Plan, Transportation Outlook. The same resolution also reaffirms the existing TIP, which you have just approved, that we'll ask the policy committee to approve next week, and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the state implementation plan for air quality conformity. Resolution 2015-10 certifies that the AMATS transportation planning process is being implemented in compliance with all of the applicable federal requirements. AMATS transportation planning process is conducted under the supervision of ODOT, and the staff is recommending approval of these two resolutions. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Chris? Do I have a motion for the first one, 2015-09?
Same question, move to approve.
Second?
Good.
Any other comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. And then 2015-10.
Same question, move to approve.
Second?
John Proof, second.
John Proof, second. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you. Any other business for the committee?
Just one thing, we invite all of you to join us at 2:30 for the follow-up meeting to this one, which was to explore some of the issues that we discussed when we had the resolution last meeting about increasing revenue for transportation. And we thought there was some really good discussion about, even though we did end up passing a resolution about recommending raising the federal gas tax, I think everybody in this room acknowledged that isn't necessarily the only way to shore up transportation programs, and especially at the local level, a lot of the roads aren't even eligible for federal funds. So we did want to do a little bit deeper dive. We've got an agenda to go through just to kind of get some ideas for other, both revenue side ideas for helping fund transportation, as well as maybe some cost savings or shared services. So we invite you to stick around for that. Between now and 2:30, we'll see if we can do something about the 80-degree temperature in here. And if you grab a cup of coffee, I'd say take it outside between now and 2:30. So please stick with us if you can. I think it'll be a good discussion.
All right. Anything else? All right. We're out.